The following is paid for by Ganem's Garden Center and Florist LLC. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WICC 600 or our advertisers.
Now it's time to find out what's growing in Ganem's garden. Here's Lee Ganem, the garden guy, from Ganem's Garden Center, Kings Highway Cutoff, Fairfield, on WICC 600.
Well, good morning and welcome to the show. We are down here at Captain's Gold Marina for the greatest bluefish tournament. It's a tradition here at WICC. I remember when Jill and Jan Williams and the family started this years ago, and of course, it continues on and on here, and it's going to be an exciting thing. $25,000, folks, is a lot of money, so get out there and get fishing. So we're taking your calls, 203-333-9422, 203-333-WICC. It's a gorgeous day down here, so even if you don't want to fish, just come down to the Cove. It's just a wonderful area of Bridgeport, that Black Rock area. So Black Rock, of course, they wanted to secede from Bridgeport years ago, but I think they changed their mind. So this morning we have a very special guest, a local Black Rock girl, Janae Hibansky from Herbaceous Catering Company in Bridgeport. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is great down here, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
This is a nice venue. This has been built up over the years. I remember when Kay Williams first acquired this from the city of Bridgeport. So they've really done a nice job over here. Of course, they have the HMS Rose occasionally here, which is it's actually a British ship that was very big in the wars. But it's just a great venue. The marina is very clean. And of course, they have a venue here for in the evening. They have bars and they have a lot of food, and they have a lot of entertainment. So it's a great place to bring the family, especially on a Sunday. Sunday is a great day to bring the family down here. So what's new in your world?
I'm just cooking, loving it.
So when is Channel Lake going to hire you full time? It seems like you're on more than the actual people that work there. So
they love
you.
Yeah, I love my WTNH family.
Yeah,
they're so
nice
much
people.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, one of these days we're going to have to do cooking on there together. So
yeah, that'd
I don't
be
know.
Awesome.
I don't know if I can compete with you. You're pretty good. So, but don't forget, Janae offers gift certificates if you want something special for that special one in your life. She will come to your house and cook. So that's quite an honor. Of course, you do have to have some utensils. And if you're a chef like I am, I'm a junkie. I have anything you need, except I just can't find it when I need it. So
of course, right.
So what do you have for a recipe for now we're talking about bluefish. So do you have a bluefish recipe?
Yeah, I love a smoked bluefish. I like to smoke it, and then I mix it with some sour cream and some cream cheese, of course, scallions, red onion, chives, a little lemon juice, a little nice smoked bluefish dip.
Oh wow.
Yum.
Wow,
super easy.
Well, that fish, bluefish is a big fish. People don't realize that,
yeah.
You know, a 15-pound fish is quite long. So,
yeah.
I know when I'm in Lebanon, the Mediterranean over there has a plethora of smaller fish, and they eat fish whole over there, of course. They cook them and they bake them, fry them, they do everything with them. And it's quite a delicate. They, you know, it's really weird to sit down at the table and watch the fish looking at you, but, you know, those big eyes. But it's one of the bigger mainstays of the Mediterranean diet, of course, fish. And fresh fish is nothing better than fresh fish. So speaking of fish, and there's a lot of things down here at the ocean that we use in our fertilizer blends, especially our bumper crop and our organic growing mix, and just a few items that we might want to mention, so that we do recycle a lot of stuff from here. So of course, fish meal, it has lots of nitrogen and beneficial bacteria. Hydrolyzed fish, those are byproducts fortified with phosphoric acid. So these are all elements that we want in our fertilizers. Of course, fish emulsion, and if you're a fisherman, you're familiar with menhaden. Menhaden is not an edible fish, but we do, we cook them up at 210 degrees, and then you separate the fish oil out, and the fish oil is where all of the emulsion, that's where the word emulsion comes from. And of course, lobster and crab shells. Now, we don't really recycle a lot here, but of course, Coast of Maine is in lobster country, and what they do is they take all of those shells after they, and a lot of the lobster, of course, is shipped out of that area in cans, frozen lobster meat, etc. So there's a lot of leftover stuff, and lobster shells have a lot of chitin, and a lot of nitrogen. So that's why we always recommend it for tomatoes, et cetera, because it does enhance the soil. So, and the microbes break down the decomposition of the shell. So, and of course, there's seaweed and kelp meal. And the seaweed, a lot of people in the world eat seaweed.
Yeah, it's so healthy for you.
So now, do you have a recipe for seaweed?
Well, I add a lot of seaweed to different things. I add kombu to stocks. I add a lot of wakame to some salads I do. Just, you could buy it at the store and then just rehydrate it in some warm water.
Well, you could actually harvest it. I remember my friend Nick Mancini used to go down to the Norwalk beaches and get the seaweed off the rocks.
And, oh, that's awesome.
And he would bring it home and he'd have this kind of a mesh thing like a pasta dryer.
Oh, really?
And he would wash it off with fresh water and let it dry, and then he would utilize that in his fertilizer too. So
that's so cool. It's so healthy for you.
It is very healthy. And kelp meal, of course, kelp is the ingredient. Kelp is actually kind of like a medicine for a plant that's sick. It really brings out the better part of the plant.
Oh, so, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and you know, it's almost like a first aid thing if your plant is kind of like struggling, kelp meal. So when you add them all together, of course, and then of course you throw in some of the macronutrients like a cow manure, chicken manure, horse manure, or any of the manures, you really have a wonderful growing mix, and it's called Bumper Crop, of course, and that's made by the coast of Maine, and that's why we hooked up at the coast of Maine. They have the biggest supply of all these byproducts, of course. Then they add earthworm castings. And you know, I'm walking around my fruit trees the other day, and I see all these little brown or black little pebbles, and it's almost like coffee grinds. And I pick up one of the pots or just lean it, and there are the earthworms.
Oh,
they're
wow.
on there. So they're having a ball in there, and that's great stuff because we sell that in a bag, of course, but it's also a wonderful additive to any type of mix. And, of course, when you add compost from wood chips or grass clippings, you can do that too. Make sure your grass clippings are dry before you put them in because they will take away nitrogen if you let them sit there. And, of course, blood meal and bone meal are in rock phosphate. These are all elements that you can put in there. And if you want to make your own mix, of course, you need nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash. So we would use alfalfa or soybean meal for the nitrogen. So, and then the micronutrients. Our best source of micronutrients, of course, is azomite. It's one of our favorite additives. And we have it actually in a powdered form. And we had Sal Gilberti on last week, my favorite herb guy. And he uses it in all his mixes. And it does benefit. His vegetables this year, if you're looking for fall vegetables, they are outstanding. I don't know what he did different this year. I think he started them a little early. And it's actually a challenge to start spring stuff in the fall. You have a lot of natural things going on, but it becomes a little bit of a benefit in the fall because it's cooler. Now, last night was cool.
Very cool.
60 degrees.
And this morning.
But this morning was cool. It's perfect. Almost fall weather. So I think we're going to pay for this in September because we have a full moon coming around the 14th, and that's going to be one of those moons that's going to change the weather. So. Okay, and we're back, and we're taking your calls, 203-333-9422, or 203-333-WICC. By the magic of radio, we can take your calls, even though we're not in the studio. We have a man manning the phones, literally, in the studio. So do pick up the phone and give us a call. Lines are open. Vegetable gardens are a little challenging this year, it seems. Everybody is complaining about unripe tomatoes or undersized peppers, and the only thing that's really kicking a lot of butt out there is probably eggplant and squash and cucumbers. And my son has this gigantic weed buckets, and he brought down probably about 200 cucumbers the other day. So all we've been doing is having cucumbers in all different forms. And if you want a really nice cool recipe, I don't want to take the breath out of Miss Janae, but I do make a cucumber salad with yogurt. And we take, it's a Lebanese dish, so we take a cucumber, and we actually like the smaller cubes with less seeds, chop them all in nice little pieces, bite-sized pieces, add a little yogurt or a lot of yogurt and a little bit of water to make kind of a soup, and then lots of garlic and lots of mint.
Mm.
And you chill that up and you put that out on the table, and of course we eat everything with bread, so pita bread. You put it in the roll, and it's just, and you can add some more mint if you like the mint, and makes a wonderful party platter for the hot days. So a lot of those things that you can chill, make ahead of time, and of course they always taste better the next day.
Of course.
And you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can make and then let them sit. And now if you have a lot of tomatoes, and very few people have a lot of tomatoes, but normally we have a lot of the cherry or grape tomatoes, and they make a wonderful sauce or gravy. And we were just talking before the show started how I make mine, and we have a similarity in how we roast our tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And we get all the best of the sugar out of them. And it's something that I do at the store because it doesn't interfere with my business day. So I get there early. I lay the tomatoes out on a baking sheet. And then I add a lot of olive oil. Of course, I use my Lebanese olive oil, which is available at a number of little stores here in Connecticut. And then you add lots and lots of cloves of garlic.
Lots.
And salt and pepper. And just throw it in the oven at around 200 degrees.
All day.
And let it sit for 8-10 hours.
Yeah. All day.
And you'll caramelize it like you wouldn't believe. And just at the very end, because if you put the basil in early, it'll turn it black. So at the very end, of course, if you watch that guy, Scarcapelli or whatever his name is on YouTube, he's a funny man in New Jersey. He says you have to tear the basil to get the best of flavor. So if you want to tear it, or a chiffonade, of course, we know how to do that. And then if it's a little too, you throw it in the blender. If it's a little too thick, you just add a little bit of white wine or red wine if you want.
Oh, yum.
And that's a nice fresh gravy or sauce. You can put that over anything. So.
Yeah, and it's a good way to preserve the tomatoes of the season. You can put it in the freezer and then pop it out later or can it.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we have a call. Good morning. You're on the air with that garden guy. Hello? Nope, I guess I heard wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the flowers that are out there, because the flowers are really doing very well. Vinca minor, the flower, the annual Cataranthus, which is what we call the cemetery plant, is doing very, very well now that it's starting to pick up a little bit of heat. In a lot of areas where it's shady, of course, it doesn't do well. Of course, we always talk about putting the right plant in the right place, and that's not the right place for that. So better off to go with impatiens, and we have a lot of the new impatiens. The Amara series is one of the disease-resistant ones that has come out over the years. And, of course, I've been going to these shows for the last 2 weeks, and every seed company in the world right now has their own species or varieties, new varieties of resistant plants that are coming out. And we'll have to see what happens. If we get the perfect storm, of course, you do need to spray ahead of time. And that's in particular to even boxwood. And boxwood blight is here and there. It's not a big problem. I think our bigger problems are probably down in South America. So that's where all those big fires are. And that's going to really affect our whole atmosphere. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And hopefully they'll get that under control. So let's talk a little bit about the squash. A lot of people having problems with squash.
Really?
And, you know, complaining about the flowers. And we always try to educate people that there's two sets of flowers on squash. So don't get frustrated. And if you started a second set of squash, of course, they should be kicking up nicely. And a lot of things can be started to go into the fall season or late summer, if you want to call it. Squash, cucumbers, even if your cucumbers failed on you. Radishes, of course, are short-term. You can put tons of radishes in. Rutabaga, turnips. Those are all winter crops that actually mature before the frost. And don't forget, we're coming upon garlic season soon. Mm. I just talked to my guy, Ed, up in New York, and he has a wonderful crop. Last year, we had a little bit of a problem with some of the varieties of garlic. They didn't really make a big size. But this year, I think that the weather was perfect for garlic. And if you fed them, especially if you used a lot of that Azomite, it really does make a difference. And Ellie, you know Ellie up at Green Village Initiative?
No.
You and I should go up there sometime. These are the people up there on Reservoir Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's an educational farm, pretty much. It's we call it the farm on top of the parking lot, because underneath it is all asphalt. And Sal Gilberti and a number of other local people have contributed over the years, soil and nutrients and everything, and they do a nice job. Unfortunately, they're like the home gardeners, and they grow a lot of good weeds, and weeding is a real challenge anywhere you go in this world, of course, and we really do want to get those weeds out of there, so that's their only challenge. But other than that, they actually provide a wonderful place for the local folks to go and buy their produce. And we have a wonderful lady over there, Lucretia, very big fan of my show. She was supposed to retire, but I think she came out of retirement just because she likes serving the population over there. A lot of little problems here and there, it seems to be, on pears and apples. Because of the cooler, wet weather this year, a lot of them have fungus on them, and some are fire blight, and some are just leaf drop. And if you drive around and look at a lot of the cherries, even the willows this year, they're doing a lot of leaf drop because of the moisture, and the moisture really does. Too much moisture. Our trees are not used to Oregon weather. And in Oregon, they love it out there, and that's why the firs do so well. But over here in Connecticut, a lot of blight going on, and we'll see what happens. Was every time we have to do something in our world, we're always challenged by something new, and we actually have a big problem with longhorn beetle again. This is the let me just make sure I have the right one, because there's a number of longhorn beetles, and the longhorn beetles can do a lot of damage. And we bring them in because we import so much material from all over the world. This one is the Asian longhorn beetle, and it's really been become a federal problem because it's across the whole country. It's not just Connecticut, and a lot of it, they attack a lot of trees, and it adds to all of the other wonderful insects that we've inherited. And, you know, it's coming upon hurricane season, and interestingly enough, we inherit everybody else's insects from down south.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you look at the map and we'll see which way the storms come up, and they're talking about a big hurricane season. So whatever is a problem, say, in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, wherever, it's going to be coming up on the next storm. And then one year, I remember, everybody went nuts. We had these army worms, and army worms are indigenous to South Carolina, and we had them in Connecticut. And everybody had them on their lawns. It looked like a carpet of worms. And we sold a lot of controls that year just to get them under control. And getting them under control is a real problem. So a few things you can do in August, of course, that are important is you're taking care of your garden. Your lawn. And it's almost time for lawn renovation season. And we're getting close. And we do have a wonderful sheet. It's available to you via email if you want to email me. Or you can stop by the store. And we give you step-by-step instructions. Depending on what your situation in your lawn is, you do want to get rid of as many perennial weeds as possible. You do want to aerate your soil if you haven't done that. Aeration is kind of sending your lawn to the spa for the day to get some of all the gugats out of there, all the thatch and everything. So that all inhibits fertilizers and anything you put on your lawn from getting to the roots of the plant. And it's a makeover, and it's a good time of the year to do it because we're coming into the season where we have the ideal conditions. We have shorter days, as you can notice. Mm-hmm. The sun goes down a lot earlier, comes up a lot later. We have cooler temperatures for the most part. We have dew in the morning, which is God's way of watering. In fact, the Muir Forest in California are only fed by the moisture factor off of San Francisco Bay. They don't get a lot of rain in that area. So we have all these things going on. And plus, grass seed germinates almost twice as fast with the right temperatures because your soil is much warmer. And this is the challenge we have in April, where the soil is still cold until we get, and we watch the water temperatures, because ironically the water temperatures here are probably around 74, so our ground temperature is about 74, and any seed you put out there, including weeds of course, will pop in no time at all. So this is a great time to do all your, so stop by and get a sheet, and we will tell you how to do everything, and we have all the proper fertilizers, and we have all of the proper seeds. We have all our seed made for us right here in the Northeast. We don't bring it from down south. We don't believe and all that. So we want to stay local, and we are a big shop local, and we believe everything should be local here as much as possible. Crepe myrtle. People always want to grow crepe myrtle. Well, you can grow crepe myrtle. You can't just go on vacation and down south and see them and say, oh, I wish I had that in my yard. We have a number of probably about four varieties that do very well here in Connecticut. And they're a little late this year because it's been cool. And I have a number of white ones that are beautiful. And they just starting to show up. And this is late for them this year. So you can grow crepe myrtle in Connecticut. Of course, the hydrangeas are just spectacular. And if you go by my store, there's a little planting that we did next to the Fitness Edge. It has this gigantic PG hydrangea wall. The guys that take care of it, we don't take care of that. But the fellows that take care of the edge didn't really cut back those hydrangeas. And there's this gigantic wall about almost 10 feet tall behind the tree. It's just what a beautiful photo op. And it has all the crepe myrtles on both sides, two colors, and, of course, the knockout roses. It's just a nice little display area there. But this has been a good year for hydrangeas, especially the paniculatas, which are the cone-shaped ones. Of course, we have so many of them. I don't think there's enough letters in the alphabet to name all of the ones that we do carry, but we do have a wonderful selection. You should come down now while they're in bloom, and you'll see which ones you want. This is going to be a bad year, I think, for allergies. The ragweed and the goldenrod are starting to pop like crazy. And now, I have a young lady who works at the store, and when she comes in froggy in the morning, I know her allergies are kicking up, and there's just no control that's good enough to take care of the allergies. So this is going to be a bad year. So if you have to stay inside, of course, it's a hell of a time to stay inside because it's beautiful outside. Rose hips, and rose hips, people don't understand what rose hips really do, especially the Rosa rugosa, which are shore roses or beach roses, and there's a particular planting in Trumbull right on Quality Street where the town does a nice job, and all of the Rosa rugosa are in full orange hip. And ironically, that's where you get your vitamin C from. Natural vitamin C comes from rose hips. Otherwise, they make up artificial ways. But naturally, rose hips are the best source of vitamin C. And I guess it probably wouldn't be beneficial to go out and pick all those rose hips. But rose hips are important because rose hips are a sign of the plant slowing down and getting ready for the fall or for the winter. So that's why we recommend that you don't feed a lot in past August. And we're getting to the end of feeding season. We're getting also to the end of pruning season. And pruning season should be delayed now. The only thing I would prune now, if you really had to, would be your hydrangeas. And if you don't know how to prune them, bring a picture down, print it all out. It's easier to sketch out a cut program for you, just drawing right on the paper. So bring them down. We'll tell you what type you have, hopefully. And the ones that are starting to show their color right now are the Endless Summer. And Endless Summer, because it's almost the end of summer, this seems to be the time of the year when they start to show their second or sometimes their first bloom. So looking around town, it's about a 50-50 this year. So my anticipation is if we have a decent winter, we're going to have a spectacular hydrangea year next year because it seems like it runs every 3 years. And 3 years is a long time sometimes, but it comes very fast, especially when you're older. So, and we're back, and we are live from the Port Jefferson Ferry Greatest Blue Shift Tournament on Earth. That's the proper title of this, and it should be because those folks are sponsoring this tournament, and I guess they give updates a little while. So I think there's going to be a lot of live broadcasts today. Of course, my buddy Tony Reno follows me, and a number of other of the celebrities that do shows during the week are going to be here live until, I think, 6. I think Paul Purcell is going to be here late today. So let's go right to the phones. Good morning. You're on the air with that garden guy.
Hello, how are you? My name's Alex.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Yes, I'm wondering if it's a good time for fall grass seed planting yet.
Not quite yet. I mean, I think we talked a little bit about it. If you want to stop and get a lawn renovation sheet, most of the time we use the cliche, September is for seeding, so we're not quite there yet. But if you do have a lot of weeds and stuff, you really want to prepare yourself for the seeding time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good morning. You're on the air with that garden guy. Okay. I guess we don't have any calls. Do you have any more calls? No? Okay. Okay, good. I thought you had a couple. I'm sorry. You know, it's a little tough when you're doing the mobile thing because you can't see the board like we do when we're in the studio. So thank you for your patience. Like we said, our fall vegetables have arrived. We have a lot of beets, Chinese cabbage, escarole. We have two kinds of escarole.
Escarole.
That's the way to say it. We have the frise, which is my favorite. And I gave a recipe last week. I don't know if you were listening, but it's one of my... And lettuce, a lot of lettuces, lettuce prey. We just can put them in now. They'll be ready to eat in a couple couple of weeks, so put lots of them in. And don't forget, you could always put a lettuce seed next to each plant, because by the time you harvest that lettuce, the other plant will kick in, and you can have lettuce all the way through to October. And then
that's
if
so
you
smart.
Put a cold frame in, and cold frames are very simple, and we talk a little bit about cold frames, and we like to get people prepared, because once it gets a little cold, people don't really want to work in the yard. So if you have an area that's near the house where it gets a lot of sun, because don't forget, your sun changes because your season is going on and on. So the sun is going to go into the southern sky rather than in the middle of the sky. So we're kind of in the middle right now. So pick a nice warm spot. Get yourself some nice big cinder blocks. You don't need a lot of dirt or soil. We don't call it dirt. A lot of bumper crop. Even that bumper crop organic, that's a wonderful mix that has like 12 elements in it. That's all you really need. These are all short-term crops. So, and you put that in that little block area, and make sure yourself get yourself an old window. And the window is to serve as somewhat of a greenhouse, and a stick. You got to have the stick. If you don't have the stick, forget about it, because you'll fry your plants. And you open up the window during the day, just like you do in your home, and you close it up at night. So this way here, actually it's the opposite, because we want the cool weather, but we want to hold the heat in at nighttime. And if you're really near a dry well or a well near your house, you can actually put a tube out there if you have hot air, and you can actually heat a greenhouse by taking some PVC pipe and making a hoop right next to your house, like a mini greenhouse, and they'll never freeze.
Wow.
And you can go in there, harvest whenever you want. I remember Nick Mancini brought me lettuce in like January one year, and I go, where'd you get this from? He goes, my cold frame. And so it is actually wonderful. So you can keep a lot of stuff, and actually you can still plant carrots and beans, squash, of course. The only thing at the long-term crops, so anything that has a package maturity date, if you look on the package, everything has a maturity date of days to harvest, and if it's under 60 days, that's the ones you can plant, and you're going to get some success out of them. So anything after that, we really don't want to put in. So you're not going to be able to put watermelon in, because it's never going to make it. So what else is new in your life? I understand you're moving.
Yes, we are moving, which is very exciting for us, because we've been in Bridgeport. We're sad to leave Bridgeport, but we've been in Bridgeport for a long time now, and we're moving to Monroe, so a little bit farther, but still close enough to Patty Pop's Sport Hill Farm.
Yeah, well, she's doing very well this year, I understand.
Yeah. We've been trying to preserve a lot of tomatoes, so we've just been getting so many tomatoes from her. Lots of eggplant. Her eggplant this year is ridiculous.
Yes, that's what I'm hearing from everybody, yeah. And there's wonderful, I mean, I like eggplant on the grill myself, so just slice it up. Even I like to leave the skin on and drench it and dry it out. My mother used to always put it on a platter and salt it.
Oh, yeah.
On an angle. And so that the water, and then you, of course, paper towels, you dab it off of there, and then you can either fry them up or grill them, and delicious. And my favorite lunch is eggplant with a slice of tomato and mustard, high spicy brown mustard.
Yum.
No
yum.
Bread. You don't have to eat any bread. Just pick them up like a sandwich. Make a little hors d'oeuvre, as we say. So,
yeah. We've been doing like an eggplant, roasted eggplant and tomato dip, which is kind of the same thought of the way you make your roasted
tomato sauce. Oh, the baba ganoush? Well, you got baba ganoush, too.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. But we don't fire roast it. We just let it roast in the oven for hours and hours.
Well, you could do that, yeah.
Yeah,
and you know the difference between male and female eggplant, right?
Yeah, you told me the last time, the bottom.
Did you hear my poor friend Sal when I threw that question about peppers last week?
No.
And he said, what the hell do I know about the peppers if they're male or female? So I come home and my wife says, well, I have a challenge for you. I said, what's that? She said, I found peppers with 5 lobes. What does that mean? I said, that means the seeds are all the way up to the top. And they were when we cut it open. So, you know, nature does it. And, of course, sometimes you find another little pepper growing inside. So,
I've seen
that
before.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, too.
That is weird.
And, you know, a riper pepper doesn't repeat. Because it seems like every time I get sausage and peppers, I don't want the green pepper, because it terrorized me for the rest of the day. But a ripe pepper, you know, my very favorite is a prosciutto with some fresh mozzarella on Italian bread, with a slice of the whatchamacallit on top, and oil and vinegar.
Yeah,
and you're done.
Did you stuff peppers at all?
I don't like stuffed peppers because the stuffed peppers, unless you roast them, and you can't roast them. See, I roast mine on the grill, so you get to take the skin off, and then and then put a little olive oil, and they last for a few days, and they're great to put on anything. So
and
salad
for sure.
And everything. Yeah. So, but we don't use a lot of peppers in the old country. They do stuffed peppers. Actually, the stuffing is the same for stuffed peppers, stuffed grape leaves. stuffed cabbage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's basically the same. It's very boring, but it has a different flavor because of the different coatings or the squash. And we use a lot of green squash. My mother used to use yellow, but the green squash, and there's a particular one from the old country. They call it Armenian squash. And it's a little short one, about 6 inches, light green. It's not dark green like the green zucchini. And it makes a wonderful stuffed dish. You used to use the old pressure cookers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you still use pressure cookers.
I have a pressure cooker.
Yeah. My mother, I remember she used to have the one that whistled all the time.
Yeah. I got it for canning, but I use it for a bunch of
Yeah, stuff. Yeah. Well, canning, we were talking about canning. Do you find a lot of people canning stuff? Or just...
I don't. Yeah. In fact, I have a lot of clients that ask me to teach them how to do it.
Right.
Which I love to do because it's so simple. And it really, I mean, preserving these summer flavors, it's so important to me in the winter to be able to serve my clients a fresh tomato sauce.
Right, yeah.
You know?
But a lot of people don't want to put the effort into it. It takes a little bit of time.
Well, and I think they're nervous by it.
They are nervous because of botulism, I think. That's the biggest thing. I remember who used to make jelly. Somebody made jelly, and of course, you have to use the paraffin wax on top. And sometimes if that molds on, you forget about it. You got to throw it away. You don't want to get sick.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's the same thing. My father used to, he was very frugal. My father used to go to the old stores like King Cole and all them, and they used to have a dented can section for, you know, like 10 cents. And he would load up. We had an area in the cellar where it would be like the years ago when they used to have the areas when we used to be prepared for atomic bombs things and bomb shelters.
Yeah.
And he would have a whole closet down there with all these denty cans. And I'd say, Dad, you can't eat that stuff. And he goes, yeah, baloney, blah, 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 you know. So I said, well, you eat them. I'm not touching them. So, you know. But the big deal right now, I think, is people that are having these picnics going on right now and the mosquitoes. And the mosquitoes are a really big problem. They're finding a lot of equine disease, especially on horses. There was quite a few articles this week, and protecting your children and your animals, of course, from mosquitoes is very important. And then, of course, there's a lot of no-see-ums. I don't know where they come from, but I guess that's why they call them no-see-ums, because you do never see them. But if you are having a picnic, and a lot of people are, of course, the cool nights are really cut back on. And I haven't seen that many yellow jackets either, which is nice. But there's a lot of natural ways to get rid of or prevent or keep them away from your food. And yellow jackets are easy. They love vermouth or any type of sweet juice, and they'll drown in them or they get drunk. In fact, my wife had fruit flies in the house, and she put apple cider vinegar to look up. They went right in the cup and drowned. So that was her big solution. Of course, we sell products for that, but it's a lot easier. It's more natural. So there's a lot of natural ways. Mosquitoes can be a little tough because mosquitoes, there's not too many. There's a lot of products with oil in them, which if you can catch the adult mosquitoes, you'll suffer them. And that's the thing with cedar oil. And a lot of people are getting these people to come out for mosquitoes and ticks, and they think they're actually killing the ticks and mosquitoes. They're not. So it just deters them for a while, and they do come back when the conditions are right. So keeping your areas clean of standing water, bird baths, or any type of containers. We do that at the store. We have a number of containers that don't have holes. You have to dump them out. Or we can use the mosquito dunks. And I think the town used to give them out, but we do sell mosquito dunks, and they're really, really good because it's a BT, and BT is one of the most natural things. So this is a good time. If you want to you deadhead your lilies, you want to move them, you can move them. You can move your irises. It's a good time because this is a good time to plant irises. And if you had strawberries, their season is done unless you have a lot of fruit on them on the everbearing. But if they're done, if they're starting to brine off or die off, now you want to cut them down. You want to take the runners because if you have too many runners, you want to keep your strawberries in rows. And sometimes they run out into the rows, and you don't want to get them. You want to get them out. And make sure if you pull them and they have black root. Black roots are no good, so you want to throw those strawberries away. So add some organic mulch, especially if you have asparagus. Asparagus are really buggers for food, and they like to be fed very frequently. So whether you're doing chemical or organic or synthetic, rather, I should say, you can add either one, or you can just add a nice thick layer of bumper crop, which has a lot of essentials in it. And, of course, we have that Azomite product. Azomite is horse manure, or sweet peat, as we call it. And you can get it in two different forms. You can get it as a mulch, and you can get it as a liquid if you want a really quick feed. Horse manure is one of the better high nitrogen. So when we have such a short season, We want as much available natural nitrogen as we can to get all the greens going, and that's what you really, really want. So if you have any problems with insects, and there's lots of insects out there, it seems, you know, if you follow Facebook, everybody has the long, the big tomato hornworms, which nobody wants to see or touch. You know, they're just ugly. And then, of course, in the lawn, there's a lot of problems. And the biggest problem I've seen so far is a lot of brown patch. And brown patch, of course, is from too much moisture. And we've had so much rain. And if you're continuing to water your lawn, which you shouldn't, I know the irrigation guys don't want to hear it, but you should really, if you're going to do your lawn, do it once a week, one time, 1 inch. And if you can gauge how much water by putting little cans out, you'll know that it takes quite a while to get an inch of water. But once it's there, you really don't want to add too much more water to it. But you will bring out a number of other problems, which is mostly bent grass. And bent grass can be sometimes confused with grub damage. And grub damage, this morning I'm walking to my truck, and there's all these holes in the ground. And the holes in the ground have been the skunks up all night long working hard, digging up those grubs. So we know we have grubs in that fair area over there. So, but if you have bent grass is a whole different world. It looks like straw, and it has a green tip. And so if you are a golfer, of course, bent grass is something you putt on the greens, and they cut it at 3/16 of an inch every single day. So unless you want a putting green, you do want to get rid of that bent grass, and the only way to get rid of it is to wipe it all out. Whatever control you want to use, whether it be synthetic or organic, it's a patience factor, and you want to kill it down to the root and then be able to pull it up and reseed or sod. We always recommend sod, and we will have sod a little bit after Labor Day. So we're back, and those folks that did call and hung up, call back. We're here. We're on our last quarter hour here, and we are live from the Port Jeff Ferry Greatest Bluefish Tournament. And Uncle Tony Reno is on his way in and with Christine, and they'll be on next at 9 o'clock right after the news. And he's going to take you right through the day until the next live broadcast. So we have a lot. Everybody's live today. I guess everybody woke up and said, let's go down to Captain's Cove. So we are going to be here. So a lot of things going on. Of course, there's a lot of bagworms out there. And if you haven't ever seen a bagworm, if you see a hedge of arborvitae and there's one brown one, and you look and there's these little brown egg sacs hanging off them, that's a bagworm. And it will kill that tree. So you want to pick them off and you want to burn them. That's the very best way. And 10 caterpillars, of course, there's a couple of different kinds. There's the ones that are at the very end of the branch with the simple ones. So we always recommend, instead of spraying something, just cut that branch off at nighttime when those caterpillars go back to their nest. They are they go home every night. They're not like the gypsy moth of years ago. They just kept eating 24 hours a day. So these are very simple to take care of. Just give them a little sniff. Get your pruners out. And by the way, we have a wonderful selection of pruners. I was told by a customer of mine that we should advertise our pruning area. We do have the very best because we don't want to have to replace them every 2 weeks, or unless you lose them, of course. And we have to a lot of them that have orange or red handles or purple, so you can see them. But you can just take those branches, cut them off, and burn them. The other things that are very prevalent in the lawn are crabgrass. Dallas grass, this is one of the biggest years that I've seen of Dallas grass and nutsedge. They are those limey green spikes that come out of your beautiful lawn, and you do need to hit them with a sedge edger, or you can just dig them out if you want, but they are so prevalent this year, it's going to be a real, real job. So do treat them now while you can, because once they get by this season, they'll come up in bigger patches every single year. That's the problem with weeds or grassy weeds. They just never give up. A lawn will give up, and sometimes some of the lawns are a little dormant, but once they come back with the moisture, and there shouldn't be any reason to be dormant this year. So it has to be a problem one way or the other why your lawn doesn't look good. Even as the grass on the sides of the roads, which nobody takes care of, are absolutely beautiful. So God takes care of them in lots of ways. So raising your mower height to 3 inches, of course, this also helps. Mulching your clippings, it also helps. And then if you still have a lot of crabgrass and weeds, you can use a post-emergent control. And that works in this perfect weather, around 80 degrees. So you don't want to use it when it's over 90. And it looks like we're going to be a little cool for a week. Of
nice.
Course, and here we go. Here comes another moon. And once the new moon comes in, or the next moon, rather, that's when it's going to change the weather. It'll get a little warmer. And the long-range prediction from a number of people is we're going to have a September, August and September rather than September and August. So we normally are not getting a normal cycle. The last 3 years we've been watching, because I go back to my shows and the weather is almost the same, but the moon, of course, is changing because it moves every 27.9 days. So it's always a great thing. So what do you have on the horizon? When's your next appearance on the Channel 8?
Probably the end of September, trying to work it out. We have a couple of weddings coming up, so I'm hoping that it'll be cool and not extremely hot, because the last time I did a September wedding, we died.
Well, you were doing
so
the
hot.
Farmers markets for a while, too.
Yeah,
they're almost done now, right?
No, well, the Westport Farmers Market goes until November outside, and then it moves indoors.
Oh, it moves inside.
And it moves into Sal Gilberti's in Westport.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember he told me about that.
Yeah, so we're not
doing... What a nice guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's great. Mm-hmm. He's great. But we're not doing the market until... we're taking off September because of the weddings and the move, but
of
we
course.
Will be back hardcore in October.
Okay. So. Do we have a call? Sorry. Yes?
Hi.
Good morning. You're on the air with that garden guy.
Good morning. Lee, I have a...
I hope you have a gardening question, my dear, because this is going to be a short show today if you're still on. So I know you like to talk to me. Why don't you come down to the store and we'll talk about it? Okay.
The reason I'm calling it is, how do you get rid of hawk?
How do you get rid of what, huh?
Hawk.
Hawks?
Hawks?
Yeah.
Why would you want to get rid of hawks?
No, because there are a lot in my property.
Well, that means you don't have any mice or anything around, because they do a good... And seagulls. A lot of these beaches are hiring people with hawks to keep the seagulls away. So we got to run, honey. We've got to go to a commercial. So
okay.
We'll talk to you next time. Thank you. Do we have any more calls?
Hello?
Hello. Good morning. You're on the air with that garden guy.
Hi. You said once before about when you have lots of long weeds that wrap around, vine weeds, to cut them down, should you put anything on them once you've cut them down so that they don't come up next year? Is there any point or...
Well, the best way to control noxious weeds like bamboo and poison ivy, if that's what you're referring to...
No. They're not, it isn't bamboo or poison ivy, but this year there's some sort of weed that's wrapping around all of mine and it's growing voraciously.
Why don't you bring a piece of it down, hon? Maybe it might be bittersweet.
Oh, it could be I know what bittersweet is. I will bring a piece down.
Yeah, bring a piece down, because any of those viney, noxious vines that you don't want, the best control is cutting them to the ground every single day or every single week so they can't get a new growth pattern going. If they can't produce green leaves, of course, they give up because they can't make chlorophyll.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll bring some down in a plastic bag. I've got
Thank
plenty.
You. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Do we have another call? No? Yes? Okay. Good morning. You're on the air with that garden guy.
Hi, good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
Hi. I've been waiting like the whole show to get you, so I'm glad I got you within the last few minutes.
I'm sorry. It's
no,
hard when you're on location, so.
No, you're awesome. You're worth it. Just a couple quick questions. The Stelladora and the tiger lily leaves, should I cut those back? I wasn't sure, so I cut back two of them last week, and they already grew back. They look great, but what's the... best thing to
well,
do
the Stelladora are actually daylilies, so daylilies you want to keep clean. They'll bloom right through the fall. And the other lilies, which would be the hybrid lilies that have stalks, is that what you're referring to?
Yes, the orange ones.
Those you let brown all the way down to the ground before you, they'll actually break off, and then they won't come back until next season, but they'll come back two or three times the size.
Okay, so don't do anything to them?
No, leave. I know they look like, if you want, if they're starting to turn really brown, and if you have some other plants around them where you can kind of cut them below the green line, cut them so you won't see them, you won't look so bad. But other than that, you really want that dead plant to restore the bulb for next year.
Okay, because I did cut all the leaves down a week ago, and they all grew back, and now they look great. They're not brown.
Yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. They'll be fine. Yep.
Okay. And wait,
all right.
The heliodoras, you said you cut back the leaves?
I would just take the deadhead, the flower stalks that are on there, and any of the brown or black leaves or yellow leaves, keep them clean. They just look better. That's why I don't like when these commercial places use, like, thousands of them, because you can't maintain them that way. You know, it'll take you a week of Sundays to get out there and clean them all up, so.
Oh, yeah, they look nice and bloom, but, yeah.
That's it, yeah, well.
I have some rhubarb that looks like it's going, you know, it's green, some is partially red. Will that come out? Will I have that again before
oh, yeah.
the end of the
whatever fall? Whatever color your rhubarb, but don't, how old is your rhubarb?
Oh, God, 5-7 years.
Yeah, but, I mean, if there's a lot of stalks, you can take about a third of them off if you need it for pie.
Okay.
Okay, but don't eat the leaves. They're poisonous.
I know.
Okay.
Use them for umbrellas. And did you mention a false clematis?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Did you have another question?
I think a few weeks ago you mentioned something about a false clematis.
Is yes, ma'am. Paniculata grandiflora. That's the white one that's very fragrant. It's called Sweet Autumn. They should be in bloom in the next couple of weeks. So, but they're very aggressive, need a lot of room, and they like a lot of sun.
Okay. Do you guys have them?
Of course.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Come on down. We're open 9 to 5 like the movie today.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I want to thank you for coming down. I know.
I
like
learned.
Local people. You're a Black Rock girl. I mean, you know, going to Bassac High School 100 years ago. In fact, we're having our 50th, listen to this, 50th anniversary, reunion anniversary. It's almost like an anniversary. So we're hoping a lot. Actually, we've opened it up to a number of classes. So if anybody's out there from Bassac from the 70s, or actually, I was a 69 boy, but anything in there in between 65, we're welcome to anybody to come out. It's going to be the 21st of September at Big Testo's on Madison Avenue, and very inexpensive. There'd be a cash bar, of course, but it's he does a nice job up there for catering. So, and hopefully we'll have you back maybe closer to Thanksgiving or Halloween-y. I mean, you know, I know you like coming on the show.
I love
celebrities. You know, someday I want to be a celebrity. I want to be like you guys, you know. You, Sal, I got a whole bunch of celebrities in my repertoire. So I actually have a few people that we might be talking to in the next few weeks, and I'd like to set up some guests. And we have an old friend of ours, the Salou brothers, and one of them has gone into hydroponic growing in
cool.
He started in Maine, and now he's moved down to, I believe, closer to the Boston area. So this is a very big deal. Hydroponics might be our future. And so Paul Salou is the gentleman's name, and he's been in this business as long as I have, pretty close, but I'm a little bit older than all these guys. So, but I always tell him I look better than him. So, but, you know. It's one of those things. You got to take care of yourself. And, you know, when I go back to Lebanon, of course, I come back healthier. So that's why I like to go there a lot. Plus, my mom's there. So, but our tip of the week, plant that shrub or tree you've been yearning for. I mean, you know, people drive around looking at other people's property, and it's like women watching women get dressed. So we have a great selection of trees and shrubs. So if you have something in your wish list that you've been dying for, weeping trees or perennial, I mean, perennial gardens are such a large portion of our business today. But we have the best selection, second to none in Fairfield County, and
awesome.
We do take care of everything all the time. So you won't find many off-peak things in our store. My crew is probably one of the best, and they really stay on top of things. And this is showtime for me, so when I go away for a few days, I'm glad that I have all these folks to make sure my material represents my quality. So remember, don't Google it, just Ganem it. And we're going to have Mr. Reno coming up with the Italian house party. Maybe he's going to have some bluefish filet this morning. You want to cook something for Tony this morning?
Yeah,
you
totally
ever met
would.
Tony?
No, I
haven't. Oh, we're going to introduce you to Tony and Christine. He's a great guy. He's been here 100 years, but he doesn't look as old as I do. So that's why I like young guys around me. So anyway, this is That Garden Guy signing off from that Port Jefferson Ferry Greatest Bluefish Tournament. down here at Captain's Cove. Come on down. It's a beautiful day. And then once you come down here, go home, stop by the store. We're open 9 to 5. Buy yourself some vegetable plants. Buy yourself some perennials. Treat yourself. It just makes your yard look better. You don't have to go anywhere. We call it a plant vacation. So stay vacation, plant vacation. It all works. See you next week.